This chazar is echinish b'chach shag v'amuhim sechus kedushim daf chav dalad. Brisa says that if Kanani goes free if the master causes the destruction of his tooth, his eye, or any limb that does not regenerate themselves. Frekim adalocha that he goes free with the destruction of his eye or tooth is written clear in the pasuk. How do we know that he goes free with the destruction of other limbs? Or said that compared to his tooth and his eye, just as the tooth and an eye are mumen that are exposed and do not regenerate, so too any of the limbs that result in mumen that are exposed and not regenerate themselves will set the slave free. Maybe we should say that the pasuk of tooth and eye are two psukim saying the same concept, and the rule is that we have two psukim saying the same concept, we cannot learn from them to any other place, because if it was meant to teach to other places, the Torah would have only written one pasuk, not both. Furthermore, these two psukim are needed, because one of them cannot be learned from the other, and if so, they're not considered to be two psukim that are teaching the same concept. Why are they both needed? Because if the pasuk would only mention the case of tooth, we would think that a baby tooth is included, and knocking it out would set the eved free, even though a new tooth would grow in its place. The Torah therefore writes the case of eye to teach it only something that does not regenerate itself. And if the Torah would only write the case of eye, we would think to say that the only thing that can set him free is something that he was born with, like an eye, but a tooth which is not born with, it grows later, so it would not set him free. Therefore, the Torah had to write the case of tooth as well. Maybe we should dash in the pasuk as follows. Ki yake is a klal, shein v'ayin is a prat, and then the rule is that when we have a klal followed by a prat, the only things included in the klal are the things mentioned in the prat, which would mean that a tooth and an eye can set him free with nothing else. Emphasizing the words lachofshi yishalchenu, which follow the prat, act as another klal, and therefore we have a klal prat or klal, where the rule is that we include other items that are similar to the prat. Therefore, we will include all other limbs whose destruction creates an exposed mum, and which will not regenerate. Maybe we should say that just as a tooth and an eye upon destruction can no longer do their obvious function, so too any limb that can no longer do its obvious function can set them free. However, a braisa said that if a master pulls the beard of a slave and dislocates a bone in the jaw, the slave goes free. Now that bone has no obvious function, and as such should not set him free. Morris says the words lachofshi yishalchenu is actually a ribuy, and when darshan, it teaches to include all limbs, even those without obvious functions. If it's darshaned as a ribuy, then even if the injured limb will regenerate itself, it should go out free. And the Braisa clearly says that this is not the case. The Morris says, because if that were true, what would the psukim of tooth and an eye be teaching? Zakmar Vaita, the Braisa says, or Shimon says, a slave goes out free for a destruction of any of the 24 limbs, but he would still be required to get shikhar in order to marry a Jewish woman. Reb Meir says he would not need a shtar shikhar. Well, Eliezer and Reb Akiva hold like Reb Shimon, or Reb Tarfon hold like Reb Meir. Those who decided matters before the Chum said that Reb Tarfon's view seems to be correct when dealing with the actual tooth or eye, since they are specifically written in the Torah, and the view of Reb Akiva seems correct for the other limbs, since it's based on a knas of the Chachamim. In fact, the Gemara is a drasha in the pasuk, not a knas of the Chachamim. The Gemara said they meant that since it's based on a drasha, not explicit in the pasuk, they required a shtar shikhar so that the master not be able to later claim that the slave is not set free. Fact, Mara, what is the reason of Rav Shimon's view? Mara says he learns Gzeira Shava on the word send from that's stated by a woman. Just as a woman is released from her marriage only with a shtar, a slave was also only released from servitude with a shtar. Meir would say, since the pasuk says lachofshi yishalchenu, putting lachofshi first, it teaches that he goes out free automatically even without a shtar. A braisa says if the master hit the slave in the eye and blinded him, or on the ear and made him deaf, the slave would go out free. However, if he hit a wall near the slave's eye that caused him to be blind, or he hit a wall near his ear and that caused him to become deaf, he would not go out free. Rav Shimon said to Rav Ashi, does this mean that a sound is considered to be insignificant when causing the injury? Rami Bar Yecheskel taught a braisa that we have learned elsewhere as well, that if an animal breaks kalim based on his yells, the owner has to pay. This shows that sounds are considered to be significant in causing damage and injury. Rav Ashi said a person is different because he has intellect, and as such, it's he who allows himself to be scared and causes the injury upon himself. In fact, Braisa even says that if someone yells into another person's ear and causes him to become deaf, he'll be potter. Tokmar Vaita, Braisa says if the master hit the slave's eye and causes his vision to become impaired, but did not blind him, or if he hit his tooth and caused it to become loose, but it did not fall out, then the halacha is that if the eye or tooth still have enough function to be able to be used, the slave would not go out free based on that. If not, the slave would go out free. Another Braisa says if the slave's vision was already impaired and the master then fully blinded him, or tooth was already loose and then the master then knocked it out, halacha is, if he was able to use the eye and the tooth before the total destruction, then he would go out free. If he was not able to use it before the total destruction, the destruction would not now set him free. And the Mara says both of these braisas are necessary, because we would only have the first braisa, we would say that in that case he goes out free because the slave had a healthy eye or tooth, but in the second braisa, where it was anyway impaired, even the total destruction should not set him out free. If we would only have the second braisa, we would say in that case he goes out free because he has caused total destruction. However, in the first braisa where he did not cause total destruction, maybe he should not go out free. Therefore, both braisas are needed. A braisa says if a slave's master was a doctor and the slave asked him to apply medicine to his eye, in the process of doing so the slave was blinded, or he asked him to scrape around the tooth and in the process of doing so the tooth was knocked out, in both of these cases the slave can laugh at his master and goes out free. Shimon Gamliel says the pasuk says vishichaso. which teaches that a slave does not go out free unless the master intended to destroy the eye or the tooth. In fact, what are the Rabbanan dashing with this word? The Gemara says they use it for the drasha of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Raisa, who says that the pasuk teaches that the slave only goes out free if the master intended to do something to the eye or the tooth, whether beneficial or not, and in that action destroy the eye or the tooth. It's only then that the slave will go free. However, if, for example, the master was helping his maidservant to deliver a baby and while doing so accidentally blinded the baby would not go out free. Vishim Galil says the pasuk could have said Vashiches, instead says Vashichasa. The extra hey teaches this other drasha as well. The Rabbanan don't dash in the extra hey. Rav Sheish said if a slave was already blind, the master knocked the eye out of its socket, the slave would go out free because the master has now made the slave to be missing a limb. We can see this from a Braisa as well. The Braisa says a bird that is valid as a carbon, even if it has a mum. But if it's missing a limb, such like if the eye was knocked out of its socket, it would become possible. The same concept would therefore apply to a slave and would set him free. Achir Ashi Nehmer Rav said if a slave had an extra finger and the master cut it off, the slave would go out free. Rahuna said it's only true if this extra finger, like the sixth finger on his hand, was in line with the other fingers, then in a chanami, the knocking off of that finger would set him free.